Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to another episode of RevCovery. Today, we have a very special guest that I'm excited to introduce you to, Leslie Neese. Now, if you are a Survivor fan, you may remember Leslie Neese from, I guess it was the China season. Friends, I'm not a huge Survivor fan, so I don't know these things, but Leslie is best known for being a Sister Christian, the one who walked out of a Buddhist ceremony due to her Christian beliefs. But she's way more than that. She's someone whose story is so powerful and how she's been willing to transition and change. She's a phenomenal trainer. She's a speaker. She was a radio host, but she's also someone who's willing to just see life differently and through new lenses. So with no further ado, here is our wonderful conversation with Leslie. Make sure you stick around for the quote at the end. Hi, friends, and welcome to another episode of RevCovery. I am so excited to have you here. I'm one of your co-hosts, Sarah Heath, and my other co-host is...
Justin Gentry.
You still took a breath.
I feel like that was very quick. But no, I'm not surprised. I knew it was coming. I was ready. And that's my name. And I'm here as the co-host of this show every week.
And we're glad to have you here. This is a show for folks who have maybe transitioned out of ministry or thinking about transitioning out of ministry. Maybe you were a super volunteer. Maybe you had one career, you're looking at another. Maybe you just listen to this because you hate listen, in which case, please join our Patreon. We are so glad to have you here, no matter why you're here. And today, I'm excited to introduce to you someone who has been part of our Discord community, is also, so that's the RevCovery Room, is also someone that I've gotten to know a little bit, Leslie, who is... I am excited for all of you to hear her story, so I'm going to let her tell it. Leslie, you know how this goes. Our question is
how
always...
How long were you in for?
How long were you in?
Okay.
Yeah, and what were you in for?
Well, I would say I started in ministry in probably 2004. My husband and I sort of gave our hearts to Christ and did the surrender thing in 2003. And then a year later, I found myself on the radio, Christian radio, doing a morning show. And I did Christian radio probably... here and there, you know, everywhere, basically, until about 2019. And then I kind of pulled away. But I did some other things along the way. I was a fitness instructor at our church. I even opened a gym and had a ministry through my gym called Transform. And it was like a class that we did. And we would, you know, try to transform our thinking, you know, Romans 12:2, you know, let God transform the way you think, all of that. So, you know, I've been in ministry for a while and I'm a writer, I'm a speaker. Well, I was, haven't been doing that in a while, and did some podcasts and things like that along the way. I was also a voice for Abide. I don't know if you know what that is, a Christian meditation app. I was one of the voices, but I wasn't slow enough. So they let me go. They kicked me to the curb, but that's okay. I get it. I'm way more hyper than that.
I know. I'll call you next time. I can't fall asleep.
Don't do that. Cause I got fired. So it's all good. We're good. Yeah. So that's about my length of service.
And one of the things that I find, like, you never lead with it, but I think it is such an interesting part of your story.
Oh, why don't I do that? You're right. I don't.
Because who would? I mean, it's part of your story. So part of your endeavor to be like a super good Christian was to be a very public Christian, which you did on a little show known as
Survivor. Yes, I was on Survivor China in 2007. Yes, you might remember me if you are a Survivor fan as Sister Christian. Mm-hmm. I was the one who walked out of the Buddhist ceremony very respectfully. And I think, you know, I look back and I'm like, I totally did the right thing for myself at that time. But, you know, a lot of the way I played the game and everything, though celebrated in Christian circles, was incredibly fear-based, afraid to make God look bad, afraid that I was going to lose my job as a radio host, afraid that people I was mentoring would, you know, be led astray if I said a cuss word, which I did, but they didn't show it, which is hilarious because I like so stressed out about it, you know? So it was just a lot of fear in that. So, but it's interesting because before I did Survivor, like when I would do speaking engagements, I was always like, go, come on, let's be great Christians and let's talk about our identity in Christ. And let's, you know, and I was very encouraging. And then I came back from Survivor and that experience really changed me because I met people outside of my Christian bubble. You know, I was in South Carolina, the buckle of the Bible Belt. I was on Christian radio. I was literally just like, I mean, I was very entrenched and I loved it. I'm not going to lie. I loved it. The hard part was when I would see the underbelly of ministry. Literally every ministry I worked in, I got a deep soul bruise. Every church I went to, another deep soul bruise. And I started to think, what the heck is wrong with me? Why is this everywhere I go? Like, so I started to sort, you know, as a Christian woman, you're taught that everything is your fault. So I took a lot of that blame on myself. And of course it had to be me because everybody else is amazing, sure. Right? So, I kind of went through a little bit of a deconstruction period, but not fully at that point. You're kind of caught up at this point.
I mean, there's so much there. There's so much
it's
there.
It's interesting that...
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting for you guys to ask a question. You both look like deer in headlights.
It's not like, deer in headlights.
Where do we even go with this?
So, well... I actually think my first question is, so did you say that you kind of became a Christian and then were a year later were
in, well, it's interesting. Yes. In well, what radio. Happened was
like, that's
it is incredibly quick. I was an infant, but the truth is I grew really fast. My parents had me in church from about the age of 10. And so, you know, my dad was like the deacon, the Southern Baptist, and I was like going to church and playing the game, but then like left home and went to college and said, forget about it. That's too hard. Like God hates me because I love Pink Floyd, you know, and I just couldn't figure out like how to please God enough. And so I just ran from him and didn't really come back until I was about 33. And that's when all that happened. But my first impression of God though, was I was 7 years old. My mom was a single mom at the time, and she had us go to Vacation Bible School. And I heard about Jesus for the first time, which is awesome, but that's not the part that stuck because I also heard about the devil. And I'm not even kidding you when I tell you, I remember like having visions of Satan with his little horns coming up out of my floor in my bedroom. Like terrified. I was absolutely terrified of him. Even though they told me the good news about Jesus, like all I could think about as this, you know, 7-year-old child was how Satan wanted to bring me to hell. And so I would just slept with my mom for, I don't know, months. The poor thing. She was probably like, what the heck is wrong with you? I'm like, the devil's in my bedroom. So that was my first impression of Jesus. Like I heard about him, but
that's interesting because you said
Satan stole the show. Yeah.
Right, which makes sense when you say that like most of what you did was out of fear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fear of getting it wrong, fear of other people being affected by who you are, fear of losing your job. There was so much fear.
Oh, I can't, like if I, wait a minute, I have a list here. I've started writing a book. I don't know if I'm ever going to publish it. It's probably just for my, just therapy or whatever. But I talked about like all the things that I was afraid of. Listen to this. Fear of sinning, fear of making others stumble, fear that my decision to follow Jesus didn't take and I was deceived and would end up in hell, that my husband or my children would burn in hell forever, fear that I'd say something wrong when I was speaking or writing, fear that I'd make God look bad, fear that I'd miss the rapture. Holy crap. Did you guys have rapture trauma?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh. I was so afraid.
Yeah, a bit.
Justin, you're so easygoing. Yeah. Justin's like, well,
I missed the rapture.
I think that's maybe what it was. I think I maybe saw the benefits. I knew the people that were going to get the rapture.
That's so funny. Like, okay, so fear of that, yeah. I also was afraid that the rapture would come before everyone I knew would come to Jesus. Fear that I was, and get this, if you've been in ministry, this is a trigger warning. Fear that I was a Jezebel spirit, that I would make my brothers in Christ stumble with my clothing or my style. Fear of Satan. After all, he and God were playing tug of war with my soul.
I've seen fear that of, dance.
Oh, it's remember terrible. That? Yeah. Oh, yes. What was it? Lifehouse or something?
Yeah, Lifehouse.
Oh, anyway. Yeah. Fear of doubts. Uh-huh. Fear of Lifehouse questions. Sketch. Fear of certain teachers, leaders, and pastors who I was told were heretics. Fear of the world. Fear of the government. Fear that I couldn't trust myself and my own heart and my own intuition. Fear that my sin would build a big wall between me and God and he wouldn't hear my prayers. And even fear of evil, so much in fact, this is embarrassing to admit, I would not allow my kids to go to the Renaissance Festival with their classes in public school because I was like, they're going to get bewitched. Like, I was terrified. They didn't watch Harry Potter. I wouldn't let them watch anything on Disney Channel that had a witch in it. Like, I was terrified. My mother-in-law even told me at one point, don't let them watch Care Bears. And I don't know what that was about, but I didn't because I was like, she said not to let them. So I like literally think about the fear that was just like following me around, you know?
Yeah.
And I love Jesus. Like, I totally believed in him. I was fully sold out. But like, there's so many times that a pastor would say, you're saved, you know, if you just say this prayer. And then they would say, oh, but Matthew 7:21 says, many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, did I not do this in your name? And he's going to say, away from me, you who do evil, you know? So like, there was this like, what if I'm deceived? What if I'm this? Literally people who have anxiety come out of this, like really banged up. That's what I'm convinced of.
Well, I was at a coffee shop the other day and I heard a guy and he was quoting the verse that you just quoted to a group of people at the table. Like a group of men, there was 12 dudes or somewhere around there. It probably was 12. But he literally said, like, when we get there, like some of us just haven't done enough, guys. Some of us, you know, it's about a relationship, not about like, you can't be an acquaintance. You have to be a friend.
But and then how thinking, do you know if that's who you are?
You know, like, I mean, it's the idea of rejection, never being good enough. And the guys that are yelling the loudest are the scaredest. And
yes, that's the truth.
I always said
that Matthew 7:21 verse is what got me on stage and speaking and talking. And like, I was such an evangelist, you guys. Like, I really just wanted people to know Jesus because I did not want them burning in hell. And, you know, I know there may be people hearing this because I'm going to share this on my page. And, there's a lot of people from my past who are going to hear this and be like, oh, she sold out, or she was never really one of us, or, you know, all the stuff that I would have said 6 years ago. You know, I understand where you're coming from, but like something happened to me about 5 years ago. And I'm so thankful God took me literally into the wilderness. He took me out of the Bible Belt and he plopped me in the middle of Utah.
Yeah, you are in Utah.
Yes.
He's
like, I don't even know what to say. Yeah. No, but like coming here, well, when we first came everybody from, you know, South Carolina was like, oh, you're going to be such a light. You know, all those poor Mormons, they're so lost and they're going to hell and you're going to save the world. So, you know, I'm already coming with even more baggage than, you know, what I had to pack because on my shoulders was the, you know, I've got to save all the Mormons. Mm-hmm. So I come here.
That is a lot of work.
Oh,
because they make a lot of people.
I know, and you know what? And frankly, they're lovely, and they don't call themselves Mormons. So I'm gonna refer to them as LDS. That's
LDS,
what they call
Latter-day Saints. That's
right. I want to be very respectful. But yeah, when you meet them, I was surrounded by them when we first moved here in a, you know, housing development, and it was funny when we first moved here. I would be like, honey, do you think they're Mormon? Before I knew to call them LDS. And I just would, because I was like so amazed that people could believe the stuff that they believed, right?
Right.
And then all of a sudden I started going, wait a minute. Okay. So mm-hmm. the day we moved in, all these LDS people came over with gifts and jelly and like beets they grew in their garden and like bread and just food and loveliness. And they were so wonderful. And I was like, man, this is so much like the Bible Belt. It's just a different religion, right? They're so nice. And, you know, of course they invited me to church. I said, no, you know, no thanks, but you know, I love Jesus. It's cool. We're good. And they were just so nice. And it was probably a year and a half later, I looked at my husband and I said, you know, and I mentioned one of my friends in the neighborhood who was like literally the most amazing woman and loved Jesus so much. I said, are you telling me that she's going to get to heaven one day and God's going to be like, yeah, you didn't do it right. I know you sought after me with all your heart, and I know I answered your prayers, and I know that you tried your best, but you know what? You weren't.
You're like a half hair off.
Yeah, you were not the evangelical American Christian.
We weren't so, like close friends.
I was like, I just
you
don't
weren't
see
in my top
this.
Five MySpace. Mm-hmm. So.
Right.
I don't know you.
It just occurred to me for the first time, like,
yeah,
I just don't know how I feel about that. And I started to like listen to heretics like Rob Bell and, yeah. you know, Ugh. And yeah, all the teachers that I was told not to listen to, like Jen Hatmaker, you know, I was like, I just want to hear what they have to say because they told me not to.
Shut up. I just texted her today. Shut up. She's
love
wonderful.
Her.
She's great.
Love her.
We love Jen.
You know her? That's so cool. I love that.
She's a great human.
Huge she is a great mentor. Human. But, yeah. but you know, I was afraid of her and I was afraid of Rachel Held Evans and I was afraid of, you know, all of these people who were heretics. And so, but when I started reading their stuff away from the Bible Belt and started trying to seek God for myself instead of being told what to believe, I just started to say, okay, God, whatever you have for me, I'm here for it. And I would say, if you don't want me going in a certain direction, just let me know. He's let me know that stuff before and I knew he would. And he never did. It was like, keep going. As a matter of fact, I'm sorry, I'm talking so much, but
this is a podcast, Leslie. Welcome.
I know.
Glad to have you here. You're the guest. That's the point.
No, I just, yeah.
I don't know if you're aware, but
they're like, say it in 2 minutes before. Or less and then get out. It's not about this. You. It's about the music. That's where I'm used to. So,
that's great. Leslie, in this moment, you are the music. So
I am the music. Okay. Well, yes.
You are the music. We're getting out of the way so the music can do its thing.
Well, when I first started not going to church, I was still in South Carolina at the time, and it was really just for my mental health. I had been hurt so much. I couldn't bear it anymore. So a friend of mine said, you know, Leslie, when I think about you, I think about, you know, Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, or that he was on the water and the disciples were in the boat. And he called Peter out and he said, come walk with me. And so Peter got out of that boat to go walk with Jesus. Maybe that's what he's doing with you. He's bringing you out of the boat to spend one-on-one time with him. And eventually you and Jesus are going to get back in the boat. And I was like, you're right. You're right. So I kind of went with that. It resonated. I'm like, all right, Jesus, let's do this. Let's walk on the water. I want to see what you got. Right. So, but out on that water, as the years went past, and I'm like, we're still not back in the boat. What's going on? I realized very quickly that there were people all around me in the water and they were drowning because they had gotten out of the boat and they weren't focused on Christ. They weren't focused on anything. They were just disillusioned and hurt and totally soul crushed. And they just gave up. And I was like, I don't like this. So then I was like, come on, Jesus, let's get back in the boat. And I go to get back in the boat and the boat is like sinking. There's like holes
it's
all over
terrible.
It.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what do we do now? You know what I mean? Like, so I have been the last 5 years of my life since moving to Utah trying to figure out what do I do now? And for somebody who clearly loves to talk, I've been so silent and it's been so unusual. And I've just been learning and listening. And just growing as a human and just not being afraid because God tells me not to be afraid for one thing, right? He tells us not to be afraid. And he also tells us that he's love, right? And so if God is love, the health thing just started to not make sense to me. And I know that's scary for people who are listening, who are from my past, and I love you. You're going to hear me keep saying that because I just know if it would have been me 6 years ago hearing a friend talk like this, I would have been like, up, off the deep end, they're heretics now. But I'm on that water with Jesus and I'm listening and he's a lot better than we give him credit for. And God is not in a box and he's not evangelical Christian. And I think, and you guys hear this every time, and you've even said we need to call this podcast 2016. When Trump, when all that started happening, I was not comfortable. I was like, okay, what's going on? By 2020, I was done. I was like, if they're convinced that he is the answer, what else have they told me that is true that isn't? Because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this man is not the answer. You know, I don't know. Like that whole thing just opened up my questioning. I gave myself permission to just say, you need to go see who God is for yourself. Stop listening to your teachers and your pastors and your leaders who are trying to keep you in this box. And my husband and I were joking around the other night and we called it Arrested Development. Not the TV show, but like, that's a good show, but like it Arrested Development. When you are in a place where you're not developing as a human, you've just accepted everything as is. You're not going to expand. You're not going to grow. You're just going to continue in your arrested development.
Well, you're also taught to fear development. So like, think about like Make America Great Again or any of these ideas. It's all about going backwards, but the backwards was never good for anyone really, honestly.
Well, and it's not what they thought it was. And that's the whole thing.
Yeah, it's the imagined past.
Yes.
It's the like, when we weren't alive then or we were kids then, but you know, we imagined it was great.
Right.
And that's
because we were sold the story.
A time when we didn't have to think about all these things. We could just, men could be men and women could be women and, you know, whatever. And so it's this imagined thing. I think it's interesting though, and none of it was ever true. Yeah. Cause anyway. Yeah.
Well, if we want to grow, if we want to progress, what was that word I just used?
Progress.
Progressive.
Progress.
You mean you're not in arrested development? You're progressing? That can't be good. You must be horrible. You're woke. Mm-hmm. You know what? The truth is I am. I am awake. I can see things for what they are. And I feel like the last 5 years of my life, really being alone with God and just saying, none of this makes sense. Help me see it your way. Looking at the Bible through a lens of love. All of this has felt like childbirth in a way. Like not me giving birth, but me being given birth to. Like I was so comfortable in my womb of my box. You know what I mean? I was so comfortable and I was so in control and I had every answer. And if I didn't, well, God knows what he's doing and he's higher than our ways. And, you know, I had all the answers, but then all of a sudden, like I started contracting, like, something's happening. Mm-hmm. So for the last 5 years, I've been in labor. Or whoever's carrying is in labor. And all of a sudden, in the last couple of months, I feel like I have finally broke through and I can see my new reality and it's way bigger and it's way more beautiful. And it's so much more inclusive. And it's, you guys, I just can't even tell. Like, it makes me want to cry. Like, I can't believe the lies that I believed about other people and how they weren't worthy. And I just want to spend the rest of my life making up for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. You do.
I figured you did.
That's amazing. Yeah. I want to say something because then I think most people listening to this will realize it, but I think most people that progress or leave the church or deconstruct or whatever you want to call it, become woke, they did so because they were following Jesus out the door.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And most people's experience is like yours, Leslie, in the sense that like it was because their view of God expanded or their view of love expanded. It wasn't like, oh, I just wanted to sin, you know, like I just couldn't handle the truth, you know, like the truth of, I don't know, Trump, Jesus, I don't know, whatever it is.
Whatever the truth
like,
is in that moment.
I find it in that I think it's most people are leaving. I would say just ballpark, I would say 70 to 80% of the people that are leaving are leaving because their understanding of love, their understanding of God, their understanding of Jesus has expanded beyond, this tiny little conservative container.
Right.
And I think that's important. And I think it's important to say that, and I think that's a good thing.
It's such a good thing.
And I think that honestly, that should be celebrated.
Yeah.
And unfortunately it's not. And it is scary. It is scary because what's next? What's next? What do you believe now? And it's hard for me to even articulate. Like some days I on my other podcast, my co-host and I joke that we're atheists like one day a week, just to be honest, but it's like, I hold my beliefs with such levity and freedom. I can joke like that. And it's fine. Like, I'm not worried like, Wednesday's atheist day and God's going to strike me down or something. I don't have an atheist day, folks, but I'm just saying.
No, like, I know exactly.
It's just a way to be honest. Because there were times I was an evangelical Christian and I would go days or weeks and be like, I'm basically an atheist today. Like, and I can be honest about that and I can joke about it. And then there are other days where I'm like, I think I'm still a Christian. Like June 1st when Pride Month starts.
Yes.
And I see all of my LGBTQIA friends like that are intensely like fighting for their space in Christian spaces. I'm like, I'll be a Christian today.
Right. Absolutely. I'll take up that fight.
100%. Absolutely. I'll take up that fight. Like, you can be my pastor, whatever person. Like, I will be part of that church for sure. And so I think it's different. It's more complicated for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's important that I will continue to emphasize it and shout it from the rooftop. Like, most people aren't leaving for the reasons that
we're not trying to sin. I don't want to sin. It's not like that. You know, it's more of, I just want to love more. And I just remember being told, that homosexuals, LGBTQIA, they're not going to heaven because they've chosen this over God. That is their God, because they've chosen that lifestyle. Well, I know too many people in my life at this point. One of them I met on Survivor, Todd. He was on my tribe. I asked if I could talk about him in the podcast, by the way, because he was really instrumental in softening my heart and making me go, what, Jesus? Do I have to hate him, or do I have to shun him, or do I have to say I love him, but then treat him like junk? You know what I mean? Like, that's even worse. But I know too many people that really, like, they would never choose this. They would never choose this life because it's too hard. You know, if you could just make a choice not to do it, you would. It is the way they are born. And why can't we just celebrate them as a human being who is full of love? They just want to love somebody, for crying out loud. They're not trying to indoctrinate anybody. You know, like I know so many LGBTQIA, and I have been listening to them for 5 years now. Thank you, God, for opening my ears. But I will tell you, not one of them ever tried to tell me, you know, now you should be gay.
Now you should join the club.
You need to join the club. If you want to. Yeah. I mean, never once. And nobody's ever put a pass at me. It's silly. Yeah.
I just had some who are like, are you sure you don't want to? Because it'd be fun for you. And I'm like, nope, not my flavor. And they're like, great, cool.
Okay.
You seem kind of hopelessly straight. I'm like, thanks. Like, literally, I've been called hopelessly straight before. But never has anyone tried to recruit me.
Nobody's trying that. Like, they're really just trying to live their lives. And the reason they celebrate Pride isn't because Pride comes before the fall. It's because they're trying to say, listen, I'm proud of who I am. Even if you don't accept me, I accept me. And like, they're just trying to be loved, for crying out loud. How do they not see this? Like, it just makes me crazy. And it makes me even crazier, I think, that I used to be that way. And I just don't see it in Jesus. If we're going to live our lives like him, we are doing a very poor job of it. If we are telling anybody how to stay away from God, like, you need to stay away from God. You're not good enough. Those are the people, you know, Jesus had his harshest words for the religious people. You know what I mean? Like, he called them what they were considered almost cuss words back then, like a whitewashed tomb, you know, like dead and decaying bones are on the inside of this like facade, right? He called them like hypocrites. He didn't even mince words. You guys, we don't even say that. Like, we're just like, you're mean, you know? And Jesus is like, no, you're a hypocrite. You know, you're a jerk. You're taking people away from God. How is that? Like, Jesus.
And to bring it full circle, that Matthew 7:21 passage was talking about those people.
Right.
you know?
Right.
Like, because it's in the context of like good and bad fruit. Like, you'll know people by the fruit they produce. Right. And like that, and that was the thing that started me questioning, because I started going like, okay, so we're teaching people day in, day out that, you know, homosexuality is a sin or whatever. What's that producing?
Yeah.
What is the functional result of teaching that to people?
Contempt.
Well, you either get bigots, either you become a bigot or you become suicidal. Right. Like, those are the two options right now, honestly.
And neither one of those are acceptable as far as I'm concerned.
Something is not working here. And so maybe if we were to test the fruit or test the spirits, as Paul says, like, I mean, I can use the language all day long to be like, this is rotten.
Yeah.
And I think that, and that's okay. And I think the issue is that people are like, oh, well, who are you to judge? Who are you to, you know, it's like, I am in the position to judge. We're told to judge.
But who were we told to judge and
to look at the functional result. Yeah.
You know, who were we told to judge is the people inside of the church. What is it? 1 Corinthians 5, where Paul tells the church.
Anymore.
Leslie, oh, sorry. I'm like, anymore. It was good though. I mean, he said, you know, I wasn't talking about people outside of the church. I was talking about people in the church. Those are the people I want you to judge. The other people, leave them to God. Like, what are you doing? Like, even Paul said that, and he's like their mascot, you know? So I don't know. And here I am saying this is what I hate about religion, us versus them. This is what I hate about it. It doesn't matter what religion you are. You believe yours is the one. And I think that's one of the biggest things for me coming here is seeing answered prayers, seeing people with such faith for a different religion. And they are absolutely 100% convinced that they're right. Just like I was, just like Muslims are, just like Jewish people are, you know, it doesn't matter what you are. You believe that yours is the right one. So like, is the gospel good news or is it not? Do you know what I mean? Like, is it for everyone or is it not? Because if it's not for everyone, it's not good news.
Right.
Rachel Held Evans said that.
She did.
She said it's the worst news of all.
Mm-hmm. I think there's so much to be said about the expectation too of like, I expect people who used to be what I was, even as you talk about living in Utah and some of the expectations you had of Mormon neighbors. This morning, I don't know if you follow Tiffany Rose. She's this therapist who is ex-LDS. And she this morning woke up and her pride flag was missing. And she's queer, and looked to the side and her pride flag had been mounted. So her pride flag had been, she attached it to like a light and it kept getting caught in her garage or whatever. And so she can't find it. And she looks over and it's in a very nice flag holder mounted on the side of her house, to which she goes, beautiful. Well, that's fascinating. Mm-hmm. Looks on her Ring camera. Her neighbor, who is one of the heads of the LDS community in her area, comes over, no word said, mounts her pride flag, never knocks on the door, just wants to like, it's very lovely, and walks away. And she said, wow, I've done so much work to help people like out of this community that I've held so much anger towards. And it was just this beautiful like, huh. And of course, that doesn't erase all that she experienced as an LDS member or whatever, but it's more about like allowing people to be what they are in front of you and not the assumption of what you think they're going to be one way or the other. Right. And a lot of the messages we were given were like, we're saving people from who they are, when in fact, we didn't even know who they were.
Well, we didn't care to ask.
I
heard something, you know. Well, I was watching a movie with my husband the other night, probably one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. It's the new John Wick movie. I don't like the fighting. If you like fighting, it's going to be your jam. But there was literally one thing I went, oh man, that's good. I got to write that down. And the guy had a quote and he said, fools talk, which I'm talking a lot, so forgive me, but it is a podcast, so I believe I have forgiveness. Fools talk, cowards are silent, the wise listen.
Families have a lot going on.
Let Olly help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Olly Focus Pops or Olly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Olly.com. That's Olly.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Mm. Boom. Like, and I realize that's what I, you know what though? I have literally been silent for 5 years. So I feel like I've earned the right to be able to share a little bit at this point.
What you heard.
But, yeah.
But
yeah.
It's different than sharing what came, like, it's not, it's more sharing like, hey, after 5 years of listening, this is what I heard. And you may not be able to hear it from the people who you should hear it from, the original speakers of it, but maybe you can hear it from me.
Well, and you know what? Here's the thing. I'm not here to teach anybody anything. I'm tired of living a life of duality, to be honest, because online people don't know where I'm at. The people back in South Carolina have no idea where I'm at with my faith. The people in West Virginia, people in my family, they're all going to be like, what the heck? I'm going to be at the top of every prayer chain. It's cool. Whatever. I could always use prayers, so go for it. But the truth is they have no idea what I've been going through. And so that's why I wanted to do it. And you guys, I've listened to a lot of podcasts and a lot of deconstruction podcasts, because that's been the only thing that I could find that was saying what I knew I needed to hear. It was like, oh, that makes sense. I can breathe, you know, but I went through a period where I was just mad. You know what I mean? Like, I was just mad because a lot of the voices in this space are so angry. And I started listening to your guys' podcast, and you said in one of them, you said, we're not mad anymore. We just want to make space for people who are tired of being mad. And I was like, I want to be on that. That's where I want to tell my story. Because I'm not mad. I'm really not. I get why people believe the way they believe. I'm not making excuses for them, but I am telling you, I was them. And I understand how easy it is to be in that space, and especially when you never leave it. So my challenge to people who are still in that space and think everything is okay, get out and go somewhere where there is another religion that is more popular than yours, and be quiet for a few years. And then tell me what God shows you, because it's not about, I can't convince anybody of anything. I don't even want to. I just want people to see how I see it now. Do you see what I'm saying?
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Well, we're going to
I think a lot of that anger is, oh, sorry.
No, don't say you're sorry.
Sarah, go.
No, I was just going to say,
cut it out. We're going to go to break.
We're going to take a brief break. And then I want to come back to what you're going to say about anger, Justin. Now everyone's going to want to come back.
Excellent. Yes. Let's do it.
Good job.
Let's hop back in with Justin. You were going to ask a question before I so rudely
ask a story.
You were going to ask a story prompting question. Before I so rudely interrupted. So please, what were you going to say, my friend?
Well, I think I want to talk a little bit about anger, because I think anger is a justifiable reaction to leaving these spaces, particularly for those of us that made our living doing this. I mean, every now and then I still look at my student loan debt that I accrued for ministry that I don't use anymore, and I get angry. I think that's normal. But I think there are some people that have made their platform their anger, and or have just made their presence their anger. And I'm wondering, I think for me at least, I'll just speak for myself. I think there's justifiable anger. Let me back up. I think there's anger that is normal and good. And I think there's anger that's like maybe sustained in a way that is destructive. I wonder if, at least my experience was, a lot of that anger was actually really more directed at myself and the things that I had said and the things that I had done, and that I wasn't resolving that in myself very well. And so I was just angry at everyone that made me think of that. And I'm wondering if we could kind of just talk about that a little bit, how you experienced anger maybe as you were leaving, if you did at all.
I love this question.
And if that was more directed at the other folks, or if it maybe was like, this is actually directed at me. And I
know that is like the most beautiful question.
Yeah, you kind of gave a vague, and then I just left. I just got out of the boat. And we're like, but no one's just sitting there looking, and like, I'm just going to get out. Like, what prompted you? And then, yeah, exactly the question that Justin asked.
That's a great question. You know, I think a little bit of it was the hurts that I experienced, the inconsistencies in how, you know, people would behave when the microphone wasn't on versus when it was. You know, I really tried hard to be the same person, you know, in front of people that I was, you know, when I wasn't with people. And I tried really hard to always base everything on love. I really did. Did I get it right? Heck no. I am sure I messed up. But it was so bad in some places that, I mean, literally, and it's funny, when I was in, like, entrenched in ministry was when I was on anxiety and depression medicine. I'm not anymore. I'm not, because I'm just not anxious anymore. I'm not mad. I'm not depressed. I feel free. Literally, it is for freedom that Christ set me free. So I am finally experiencing what that looks like. So I think that had something to do with it. I think the way people were treating people that I loved, and the answers weren't, they just weren't satisfying to me. I remember asking somebody who was very, very well respected. He was actually a PhD and taught at the local college. I was like, why can't homosexuals get to heaven? Like, I don't understand. He's like, well, it's an abomination. And so I looked up abominations, and there's like thousands of them, well, hundreds in the Bible. And like, some of them are really dumb. You know what I mean? Like,
well, and all abomination means in the original language is that which is outside of the norm.
Right. But I thought to myself, well, I know people who do this, 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 and this. Why are we not just excluding them from heaven? You know, just starting to do that work. I think knowing Todd from Survivor really prompted me to do the work. And then I found whenever I would go to a Survivor event, because we do fundraisers and fun things, you know, little reunion things, like all of the LGBTQIA people loved me. And they all called me mama, because that's what Todd called me. And like, they would friend me, and I would be like, I just love you so much. I love you. I like my love for them was like exceeding what I think was acceptable, you know, to in my circles. Like, you need to be praying for them. You need to make sure that, have you sealed the deal with them yet? Literally, somebody asked me that.
Ooh, have you?
And I was like,
sealed the deal.
Are you kidding me? No, stop it. For one thing, that's not my job.
Yeah.
And for another thing, like, what do you mean? Like, are we just salespeople? Are we like, and then developing relationships with people just so I could share the gospel so they wouldn't go to hell, you know, like, instead of like really just being curious. And that's like my favorite word now, curious. I'm so curious about everybody now, and nothing scares me. I just feel like my eyes are open to such a better world. So I think that's what started it. But the anger. It was bad for a while. Like, especially, get this. I don't know. Is this just me? But like the car, when I'm in my car, I feel like so safe to be a complete, sorry, asshole. Like, I really do. And I say words that, and I get mad at people, and I'm like, oh, you're such a blah, 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 you know, and I'll say, and my kids look at me and they're like, what the heck is wrong with you? And I thought it was because I was in Utah. I was like, it's the Utah drivers. And granted, they're not great, but I will tell you, I think it's because I was going through this process. And when you are born out of a thought, a consciousness, which, you know, my Christian faith, that all was my consciousness and it was safe. And when you're born out of it, you go through a grieving process. And I was in my anger phase, but boy, I didn't like it. It felt unnatural. It felt really good. And I didn't like that. You know what I mean? Like, that felt really good to say that. But I had to go through it. And I had to say, I'm mad at myself. I'm mad at myself for what I've done. I'm mad at them for what they taught me. But then, like, on the other side of that anger, I finally found peace with, that's all they know. That's all I knew. I did the best I could. And my daughter said something to me. She's 33. She said to me, you know, Mom, the one thing I love about you is that no matter what you've done, no matter what phase of your life you've been in, you've always come from a place of love. And she said, I'm so proud of you for that, because, you know, I know I was being hard on myself. You know, I was in the denial phase for a while where I was like, I'm just a terrible person. I've got to get away from church because I'm going to taint these poor people that, you know, that are trying so hard to love God. And then they're going to see me with doubts and questions, and I'm going to make them stumble. So I'm just going to leave. You know, I protected them. That's why I left. And so, of course, I was angry. But I'm not, I'm just not mad. And it's a miracle. Literally, lots of prayer, lots of just learning to love. And love just really trumps fear. And it really trumps anger. And anytime you can just, I'm just going to love people today. I'm not even going to think about how mad I am. You know, I'm just going to love on people. It literally changed the way I think.
I love that because anger is a motivational factor, but it doesn't work forever, right? Like our central nervous system can't stay in anger. No, one of the things Justin and I talk about is like, what now? Once you have, and you like kind of phrased it well, Justin, this idea of like, what comes after?
This is the...
Because I burnt myself out being angry. I certainly burnt relationships like being angry. And I think I don't want to paint anger as like a bad thing.
It's not.
I think
it is
absolutely justifiable and it's empowering. Yeah. Like I think it is, it's there for a reason. It's a perfectly valid emotion. And especially when you're grieving, it's just part of the process. But I do, and we've talked about it probably before on this podcast, occasionally I'll see someone who's like fresh out of the church, maybe a year or two out. And I'm like, oh, you're in that phase. Like
that real angry phase.
And it's empowering and I'm glad you're feeling this, but I'm hoping you can, because again, for me, it was like, I'm mad at myself for missing this so long. I'm mad at myself for treating queer people so poorly for so long or for voting the way I did for so long. And so like, I feel like I got to make up for it. But then you become like an evangelist, but like in a bad way, like, because we're still in this, you know, capitalist salesperson, you know, environment. So it's like, well, now I have to evangelize for my new thing, which is, you know, being angry at conservatives or whatever. And I think after a certain amount of time, it's
what? Pause. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
The idea of my new evangelism is being angry. That is.
Yeah.
And
you should be. I'm not saying you shouldn't be, but I just, if that's all your personality, maybe
it's going to wear on you.
Tone that down a bit. Yeah.
It'll
burn out.
And that's the thing with me, like my personality, I'm a lover, not a fighter. Maybe that's why, you know, American evangelicalism didn't stick with me because we're warriors. We're going to take on the world and you're a warrior for Christ and I'm like battle, you know, take up your weapons. None of that makes sense to me. I'm a lover, not a fighter. And so like, I could not be angry for very long, but that's just me. But there are people that are going to be longer, you know, angry a lot longer than me. And I might wake up tomorrow and be angry and that's okay. You know, it's just like, oh, hello, anger. Nice to see you. Okay. Let's get this out of our system and then move on. You know, instead of staying in it and just marinating in all that agitation, it just doesn't work for me. So I guess what's next for me? I don't know. I think what I'm going toward, I'm actually working with an incredible life coach named Sarah.
It's true. We're working together. I never out my clients, but it's
true. You don't have to, but I'm going to because you're amazing. We've only met twice, but like I can tell you she's really helping me because what I want to do is similar to what you're doing. I want to help people. I want to be a life coach. I'm going to go get my certification at the University of Utah. And once I do that, I want to start helping people who've suffered from religious trauma and help them see that it's okay. You know, you're going to be okay. Because when I went through this process, like I said, I was so alone and it was so hard. I would always say to myself, if there was just one person I could talk to who got it. And it's hard to find people who have been through religious trauma who were in ministry. It's easy to find people who've been everybody's been through religious trauma, I feel like, but like who've actually been in ministry and have to transition from a ministry mindset. And as a woman in ministry, my gosh, we basically did everything for free. You know what I mean? Like I made a little bit, but it was literally the littlest of bits. And I know the men made a heck of a lot more money than I made. I didn't care because I was there to save people from hell. So it's okay. You know, but when you carry that out of ministry and you try to like position yourself in the world, you got to find your voice. You got to find your comfort. You got to find that passion and you got to believe in yourself. And Sarah's helping me work through not being afraid to ask for what I'm worth. You know, that's a hard thing as for a women in ministry, guys, we're worth so much more. We really are.
Yeah.
And it's sad that we're made to believe that we aren't.
I think most people that we have on the show were underpaid, but it's shocking to me the number of women that just weren't paid. With either the same credentials or the same amount of authority or the same workload. And it was just like, we don't need to pay them. And yeah, that's unacceptable is a mild way of putting it. And that certainly needs to change.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Well, I am so grateful, Leslie, for you coming on today and for you sharing your story. I know it was a really big deal for you. And it's often, we don't take it lightly. It's often something that we're aware of. It is not something that that people think this, but it's not true. We know that every story is difficult to tell. And so thank you so much for sharing your story and for willing to be authentic, which I know is a huge value of yours, and telling people where you're at and not trying to be like the cool, no longer Christian or whatever it might be, instead just being who you are. And we appreciate you and your work. Where can folks find you if they're looking for you, if you're willing for them to find you? And then is there anything that you want to share with the community?
Well, you can find me on all the social medias. I even just signed up for Threads. What is it? Thread?
I don't know. I don't think it knows what it is.
Oh, you don't? It's the new Twitter.
I signed up for it. I just don't understand
Zuckerberg
what it is.
Twitter. Of course, I've had one post. I don't know.
You'll understand Threads as much as you did Twitter.
Okay. Well, so I'm on Twitter, but it's really, I'm just a lurker. And I'm on Threads, I'm on Instagram, Facebook, all of that. And, you'll be seeing me more. I think this was my first step. It's like, how can I coach people through religious trauma if I'm not willing to talk about my own? So this is my first, I thought I was going to throw up in the beginning, but now I feel like free and excited because I know this is true. Like, you can hold your story in and be safe in your circles or whatever, but you're going to miss out on community. And I know that there are people who are struggling with the way things are in the evangelical church, and they don't know who to reach out to. And so I'm someone you can reach out to now. I'm not charging doing the coaching yet, but I can be a friend. I'm just getting all my education and getting coached, and I'm going to be out there before you know it.
Excellent.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. And thank you, friends, for staying around for another episode of Recovery.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you are enjoying the conversations you hear on Recovery, you can continue the conversation with us and many more incredible people in the Recovery room on Discord. To access our Discord, please join our Patreon to become part of the Recovery room community. You can join for as little as $4 a month, and this helps us produce the show, as well as gives you access to the community resources. Check it out at www.patreon.com/revcovery. We know that not everyone is able to financially support the show, but there are lots of ways to support us, including giving us a 5-star review wherever you're listening right now. And make sure to like and subscribe across all social media. Revcovery Room is our Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook handle, so you can find us there to keep the conversation going. Now on to some final thoughts and this week's poem.
Friends, thank you so much for sticking around to the end of an episode in order to hear the quote or the reflection or just the thing that's kind of been inspiring us lately. Sometimes it's a poem, sometimes it's music lyrics. You just never know. Hopefully this episode showed you what Justin and I believe about the entire season, which is just that there's so many stories out there. And there's so many ways that kind of this faith transition or work transition affects people and changes people. And we're just so grateful for people who are willing to share their story with us, because hopefully in it, you're hearing a Me Too. You're hearing that there is something that you can connect to. And I'm so grateful to Leslie for being willing to share her story. You know, it's interesting. I think oftentimes we think we know people's stories, and those people who have been quote unquote Christian celebrities, even written books. Sometimes we think we know them. Leslie wrote a book called Wholehearted, and she'd probably be embarrassed that I share that with you, but I think it's incredible. She wrote these books about living an authentic life, and it was trying to like pursue that and live into that that led her to walk away from the way that she understood faith in the past. And so I'm grateful for the way that she's showing up authentically and trying to wholeheartedly live. And so As I was thinking about this, I thought about Glennon Doyle, someone who was also a celebrity in certain fields and then had just a lens shift, a life shift, started looking at things differently, and wrote this book that I think is great called Untamed. And the subtitle is what I love about it: Stop Pleasing, Start Living, a toolkit for modern life. Anyway, the quote from this that kept coming up as I thought about conversation with our wonderful Leslie was this: deconstruction is essential to construction. If we want to build the new, we must be willing to let the old burn. The building of the true and beautiful means the destruction of the good enough. Whatever relationship, friends, you might have to the word deconstruction, because I know a lot of us have a lot of baggage around even the language of it, we do know that we're all sort of building something new. And I wonder how many of us have questioned what is no longer good enough. And as we pursue the great, what are we willing to let go of? I'm grateful for stories like Leslie, of people who are willing to almost give up their celebrity, give up the way that they were known, and be willing to say, maybe I was wrong. Again, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being part of this community. I'm sure that you'll hear advertisements about Discord. And if you can, if you're hearing this in the time that you can come and hang out with us at Theology Beer Camp, I hope that you will. I'd love to spend some time with you in a room. So I hope you're having a great week, and we will talk to you next week.